Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's the Tuesday edition of The Social. Great to have you with us. Let's get this started.
Okay, let's start here. Is it rude to ask someone what they do for a living? A piece in The Lily says, it makes people uncomfortable. What do you think?
It makes me uncomfortable because I have to tell people I'm a comedian. And I don't know how many times I have been stuck in a travel car or like a taxi or whatever. And they're like, so what do you do? And I make the mistake of saying, I'm a comedian. They go, oh my goodness. Have I got one for you? You can use this on stage.
They tell you jokes.
They tell me jokes. Then they go, okay, tell me a joke. Make me laugh. And I'm like, I'm going in to meet a friend. There's a chicken in it. And then you go into this whole bit and they're like, that's not funny though. Tell me something that makes me laugh. And you're like, oh my gosh.
So do you have a lie?
I'm an accountant. I take it back.
Do you have a lie in your back pocket?
I have started saying, I'm going to tell people I'm an accountant because nobody asks further questions. But then you don't want to do that around tax time because then someone's going to go, I got a question for you. So if I've got a property somewhere else, I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know. I'm unemployed. Leave me alone. There's more to me than the fact that I sell jokes.
And it's so wild because I think we've talked a lot on the show about comedians who have, like, when they're off, they're really off. Like, there's the... They go real into dark, somber, quiet, introverted places, and then they just save it for when they're on stage, and then they pull back in. So I can imagine
that. Is that you, Aisha?
I don't know if that's you, Aisha, but like you don't want to necessarily
exactly.
be off.
I don't think no one would call me dark and somber or mysterious. Someone's like, "Hi, are you having a good time?" But I definitely
question. I feel bad. I get that you don't like it, and I understand that scenario when it can get uncomfortable. But I think everyone does something. I haven't been out in a while though, so take this with a grain of salt. But right now, if I was to go out, I would be curious about the people around me, and it's all in how you decide to spin it. Like, you know, you're a stay-at-home mom, or you're in between jobs, or you're a student. Like, you're doing something. And I mean, if you don't like that as a starting point as a question, then I mean, I guess I'll just move along and ask someone else. It's a great way to deflect the attention away from yourself. Because for me, also as a sex educator, I mean, Aisha, you talk about awkward conversations you can get into. People will share.
Do people tell
things
you stories? Oh my gosh!
Oh,
we need to exchange.
Yes,
the things
they
people
do.
Have told
Actually.
Us.
Yes, the things that I've heard while getting my legs waxed. I'll just leave that there.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Well, you know what, though? I get where some people are like, well, why can't you ask that question? Because is that just a question that really bothers people who are not liking the job that they're in? Or maybe they are in an in-between job, and maybe that's why they don't like the question. But on the other hand, the people who do love their jobs, it's a fascinating thing. I think all of us here are probably naturally curious people, probably natural interviewers. And I've been very guilty of almost starting the interview when someone tells me about what they do that they love and they can't stop. I went to an event once and there was a gentleman there and I just said, oh, well, you know what brings you to the event? And he says, oh, I'm a heart surgeon. It was a health event. And I said, a heart surgeon? Oh my gosh, what are you working on? And he starts telling me about stem cells that you can train to be a heart tissue and repair heart tissue. And he starts and I'm sitting there just like, this needs to be a movie. And you could tell he loved what he did. So is it not a good question for people who aren't maybe happy where they are?
And I think that's where this writer was coming from. You know, they seem to be somebody who's graduated recently and they haven't figured it out, which is fair. And that's how they feel about it. They're almost making the assumption that if I tell you I don't really have a job yet or I haven't figured it out yet, you're going to judge me for either being X, Y, Z. And I get what that hang up is. At the same time, to Cynthia's point, I do think that there's a skill in conversation. Like, let's say, for example, you run into someone and they're like, sorry, I'm late. I'm just coming from work. Like, it's right there. The question's right there. Oh, where do you work? Where was work? Like, are you supposed to be like, well, how about those J's?
You know, right? It's a better question also, Lainey, like, to your point, it's a better question than like, so tell me about yourself. Like, that is so broad and can also feel a little bit like intimate, right? Like, what are you asking? I don't know. You do.
Give me the opportunity to talk about myself, girl. I will talk. Okay. I will be the whole party for you. I have got lots to tell you. I think maybe it's because I stay at home with kids, so I'm often just with them. And then when someone says, hey, you're a human, tell me about yourself. I'm like, what?
Me? Oh, Aisha, well, here's the question.
Down, let's get a bottle.
Aisha, here's the question I do like to ask people, because I am mindful of, like, that question could be loaded, what do you do? But I do like to ask people, hey, what are you working on these days that you're really passionate about? Or what are you, yes. what takes up your day that really fires you up? It, then they can answer however they want, and you'll still get the same thing, which
it.
Is to your point, Aisha, people who want to talk about themselves, but that is a way to get a window into somebody, because ultimately, what's conversation? Let's get to know each other. And we do so much mm-hmm. of our time working. But if there is some, like, let's say you're in between jobs, but I don't know, you're learning to be an opera singer. Like, that's pretty cool. And I want to hear about it, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, here's cool. something that somebody feels pretty passionate about, the bucket hat.
What?
And Vogue is declaring the bucket hat trend is, in fact, I didn't even actually know it was really a trend, but it's a trend and it is not going anywhere. Are you into team bucket hat? Everyone looks miserable wearing
everyone
the bucket hat in these photos.
Yeah, because it looks like you have an upside down bucket on your head. That's why everybody looks miserable. No, listen, this started in the 80s. I feel like LL Cool J, Kangol, I did that look. Late 80s, early 90s. That's exactly where it should stay for me. I don't think I pulled it off then.
I don't believe
it. And I'm not pulling it off now, and I'm not going to even try.
I don't believe you. I want to see.
No, I don't have a picture. I mean, there's LL himself. Only LL can pull off that look, right? Like that look, I had that hat, exact hat in white. I have no business wearing that hat. I really, not then, not now. It's not for me. I'm out.
LL and babies. Those are the two demographics that look good. And maybe J-Lo, you know what I mean? But like, babies look real cute in a bucket
yeah.
hat, let's be real.
Yeah.
I aspire to look good in hats in general, never mind a bucket hat.
Yeah, I feel like
you might. Yeah.
Do you have one, Lainey?
I
feel
say,
like she may. Because, you know, Lainey goes for these trends.
I have several.
Like for this era?
Correct.
Oh, do you have a photo?
In different colors. I do not have a photo
of myself.
Oh, that's
too bad.
But I'll tell you why I look good. It's because I look like Jungkook, I think, from BTS. And Jungkook from
wow.
BTS.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I knew there was a connection.
Yeah,
I was
he wears
waiting.
Them well.
I'm just waiting for that. Hey, you know what? We just thought we're going to continue to keep things
yeah.
fresh, new on the show. Joining us for this portion of The Social from Chum 104.5 FM Radio in Toronto, Jamar McNeil joins the convo. Welcome back to the show, Jamar.
What's up, ladies? So good to see you after so long.
I know.
And in person.
It's been forever.
Just for you, we had to rejig our set.
Yeah,
welcome you to like really flex our space.
Well,
here.
This feels like augmented reality right now. Like real people, like in real places. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you here. And boy, you know, we'll start you off easy in this show, because here's a big situation we want you to consider. What would you do? A pregnant woman wrote to Slate saying her ex insists on an embarrassing name for their child out of tradition. So he wants her to be named after his grandmother. But she says it's going to sound stupidly cutesy. With her last name, it's something like a Mary Meryton, something like that. So it's either like, what would advice would you give here? Or conversely, like who actually gets the final say in a baby's name?
This is great that you asked me this. I just went through this about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Because we got a little 2-year-old going on 3. First thing you got to do is check social media and make sure, is this name going to make me some money or not? I was going to say Mary Meryton is like a dumb sounding name, but it might be something that could go viral and make them a little coin, right? So check
okay,
the handles.
Okay, I love that.
Check the handles first,
yes.
make sure that,
that's
you know.
That's a 2021 perspective
yes,
right there.
This
good.
Is where you're, but conversely, I mean, if the name is really bad, it's not just in the village. I mean, it can go worldwide. This kid could get, you know, trolled, bullied worldwide if their name goes viral for being like a really silly name that just like, what were the parents thinking? So it's not just in school, in the neighborhood. You got to think global now. So I think
you got to think global
I mean,
for baby naming. That's big.
I mean,
yeah.
literally.
It's true. I think, Jamar, I think I totally agree in that the name, we have to think about the kids when you're naming. It's not necessarily about us and what we want, the tradition. We want it to be steeped in this tradition and the grandmother and the grandfather or whatever. But in the end, if the kid's Julia Gulia, that tradition is lost
exactly.
on the kid because people are just going to be making fun of them. They're not going to like their name. So you do want to think about that, I think.
Yeah, but in terms of the final say, I want to fill in some details on this particular story. Mom and dad are no longer together.
Right.
And so dad is really inserting himself here with the names, even though he is going to co-parent with mom. And this is coming from his grandparents' side, this tradition. But does it make a difference that he already has two kids? In other words, this may be this woman's only child, maybe. And so why does dad get 50-50 say when he already has two children that he probably got a say in naming? Do you know what? Do you see where I'm going here?
I see where you're going with that.
He's had his chance.
I mean, he's going to say, like, this is a whole new situation, dear. Like, that's what he's going to say. But, I mean, realistically, they should both come to a consensus. I mean, no matter what the relationship of the parents are there, they created the kid together. They have to come to something that they both agree on. You know?
I mean, Mel, I have questions, too, though. This guy, it sounds like he's not being especially traditional in many ways. Like, he's not going to any of her pregnancy appointments. He's not tagging along for that. So he's shucking off tradition where it suits him and then is embracing tradition in this one solitary way. And I just want to know if this is a family tradition. How many, like, let's say the grandmother's name is Mary. How many Marys are there in this family? Are there going to be events where everyone's turning around and they've got the same names? Like, there's a point at which it's like they could, and I think that this pregnant woman suggested, like, why don't we do a variation on the name? And then his parents or his family could call the child by the nickname, whatever nickname they want. And so that, to me, is a great compromise. But I feel like this is going to be a disaster of co-parenting.
It could be a disaster, but maybe Lane's, like, is the answer not maybe, like, the first name? Like, Cynthia suggested that, like, you know, maybe it's a variation. But maybe you put grandma's name as, like, a middle name or give them multiple middle names, and then the parents still decide ultimately on some unique first name.
I hear you. I mean, I hear that if it's a silly name, you don't want to open up the child to potential harm. But I do think that there is something to the father's family wanting to carry out this tradition, especially since we are in a modern blended family situation.
Sure.
So this child is going to have two siblings from another family and be with her mother and her father with his extended family. And you always want to establish connection, right? Something that ties you to these people who you're connected to by blood and family association. And this is their thing. This is the thing that they want to hand off to the child. I get it. It's a corny name, but there is, I feel like, I hope that they can come to some kind of compromise where the grandparents' name can be incorporated so that this child in the future has some tie to these people who she may not see all the...
Who are you?
That's not Lainey.
You know what? Put grandma's name in a locket and a necklace. You know?
Well, what about the middle names? Like, you got kids with, like, three middle names these days.
Yes, put it in there.
Yeah, like, that's a meaningful place.
I feel like the not to stir, this is a whole other pot, but, you know, it's... we could get into a whole other thing about naming, but we want to hear from you on social media because this one I know is going to get a lot of parents especially riled up.
We're going to, I think, feel like Lainey's new vibe is going to get people all riled up. But anyway, we're going to change gears here. Have you ever suddenly been and unexpectedly been turned off by someone you're dating? It's called getting the ick, and it's being much discussed on TikTok lately. You might get it, for example, after seeing someone you're dating do a bad dance move or chew with their mouth open. Aisha, have you felt the ick before?
100%. Okay. I think, you know, I remember dating a guy, starting to date him. He was this beautiful man. He was so great on paper. We were very compatible. It was all going well. And then I noticed he had plaque buildup right under right here.
Oh, and I was like, I'm disgusted.
You can't kiss that then. So I was just like, exactly. Thank you, Jamar. I wiped my hands clean of this beautiful man. We're still friends to this day, and I never told him. I hope he's watching right now, and I hope he gets it all cleaned up. But, you know, I think that sometimes there's certain things. I didn't feel like it was superficial, though, because I have a big, like, I'm a big mouth person. And so for me, that would have been grossing me out forever. So that's not superficial. But I do think that there is something very, you know, we've come into this world of Tinder and swiping and apps. And we're always looking for the grass is greener somewhere else, looking for perfection, and it's just not possible. So I think sometimes instead of really digging deep and doing the hard work of a relationship, sometimes we're using these pink flags, not quite a red flag, a pink flag, as a reason to self-sabotage, as an out, exactly.
Yeah, I think I have definitely been somebody's ick. I did something.
You were someone's ick?
I'm pretty sure.
What are you about to say?
Yeah, pretty sure.
I think, so
I was dating this guy. We had gone out on a bunch of dates, and then he took me to a hockey game, and it was the first time that I got to meet his friends. So that's a big moment, right? Although it was very casual dating, but I was like, okay. And I probably had a little bit too much to drink. And I have a potty mouth, as everybody who works with me knows. On TV, I just keep it together, but that's not the real me, because if I just get going... I swear very badly.
I think that's so sexy about you.
I know.
You must sound great at parties.
You throw a beer and then Trucker Mel shows up. And I think he got complete. I was hollering at the other team. We were sitting behind the bench. I was throwing down disses to the publicity team. And I was standing with the friends. We were all in on it together. I was like, this is a great night. He never called me again. Full-blown ghosted me. Full-blown. If you're watching, I wish I could say your name. What happened? I'm pretty sure he said, not the classy girl I want to bring home to mom.
Wow. Well, I mean,
that's just my guess.
I mean,
Jamar?
That's an acquired taste. My ick happened actually when I met somebody online. And, you know, we talked for a while before we actually met in person. And I hate to say this, but this is just like one of my things. I met her and she had really nubby fingernails. Like, almost as if she had, like...
It was like she
was hungry all the time, and her nails were just not... And, like, my nails aren't great, so maybe this is why this is my thing, because I feel so self-conscious about my nails. When I looked at her nails, I was like, ugh! I was like, I don't know if this is going to work, and it icked me. And she was beautiful, y'all. Like, it would have really worked out, but...
Could you just gifted her some gloves?
Nah.
Just get her a manicure, imagine?
I know that's messed up,
when
right?
When you start dating making gloves? Out, then the person's like, let me just put on my gloves.
I just couldn't unsee it. I couldn't unsee it. And I'm sure there's someone out there for her, but it wasn't me.
Okay, the ick. Jamar, there's the ick, and then there's other things that are keeping you very busy because you have a brand new podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Our turn in television. It's called From Where We Stand, Conversations on Race and Mental Health. To get serious for a moment, this is a weekly series. It highlights experiences within BIPOC communities. You've got an episode tomorrow, and it dives into men's mental health, which is so hugely important. Tell us a little bit about what listeners can expect.
I'm so glad I can talk to you ladies about this podcast because you dive into deep issues. And, you know, and all comes from a good place. But, you know, a lot of times when we're talking about race, we talk past each other. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some people who have no experience with what race does to somebody on a daily basis, even their mental health. And even BIPOC people like ourselves, sometimes we don't even realize the effect that race is having on our mental health. And you need to hear these stories from other people like yourself to go, oh my goodness, this is happening to me too. Or, oh my goodness, I'm not the only one this is happening to. On the next episode, we talk to a man from Jane and Fish, big up to Toronto. You know, he's from the ends. But he talks about what it's like as a young man to see gun violence from a young age. Mm. And not only the gun violence, but also see police violence against innocent people. He felt like he was fighting a war on two fronts. And he just talked about what that does as a youth, leaving your house every day, knowing that you're running from the gangbangers, but also afraid the cops are going to beat you. And what that does in all types of implications. Where do you think you can go in the world? What kind of job do you think you can get? Like, how do you live your life knowing that everyone, even people, you know, who are supposed to be your superhero are your enemies? And, you know, he's kind of rejigged that and turned that into a strength for himself because now he's doing advocacy work and working on behalf of his community. So I want to big up my man Shamar for just giving us that story. But there are so many stories like that. Mm-hmm. We have Asian Americans. We have people from, immigrant families who are coming here and realizing that, like, wow, I came to the nicest country on earth in Canada not being treated nicely. Mm-hmm. And what's it doing to their mental health?
Yeah. So we want to encourage people to listen to that. That is an amazing podcast. So thank you for that. And thank you for joining us today, as always. Always a pleasure to have you here in person.
It's good to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
So let me remind everybody, it is called From Where We Stand. It is available anywhere you catch all of your podcasts on the iHeartRadio app. So please make sure you give that a listen.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.